detail for at least the last 30 years in one lecture after another, one class after another. I tell people to pray for bishops as the Catholic Church founded on the success of the apostles. As the bishops go, so goes the diocese. As the bishops go, so goes even a whole nation. The last question. So are you saying that in the struggle between kingdom of God and Satan, our generals have dropped their guard? Yes. But on the consoling side, the operator of this world is God. The devil can really do evil if man, in his freedom, does not permit it. And we refuse to become the devil's accomplice. That's why we should not be afraid of him. The devil, I repeat, is doing incalculable harm. And mainly by infecting, shall I use the word, possessing the minds of leaders in a society like ours. The devil has, Christ tells us, was a liar from the beginning. I never stop quoting the statement, remember, of the philosopher of the modern media, Marshall McLuhan. Our modern media are engaged in a Luciferian, that means a satanic conspiracy against the truth. And that includes the Detroit Free Press. If through the Chicago Tribune, it should include the New York Times. Yeah, well, I know. Now, just to read a few sentences from this page. I would not forbid you, but I would recommend that you not make copies of this page. Am I making sense? This is part of my correspondence, as I've had to have it, with Satanists. It would be important to tell you everything there is to know about modern Satanism. And mind you, the one writing this is a Satanist. And hear it. The leaders of this satanic brotherhood are ex-priests. It would be impossible to tell you everything there is to know about modern Satanism in a few paragraphs. So you won't even try. You will never attempt to enlighten you on several of our more basic tenets and philosophies. Modern Satanism is a philosophy wherein man creates his own heaven or hell here on earth. The Satanist finds belief in whatever makes him happy here and now, and not in something that may not exist, heaven or hell. And don't tell me there are not millions of Americans who don't believe what I've just quoted. In other words, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, so long as no other man is offended by your actions. A perfect definition of pro-choice. Modern Satanism is not the blood and guts. Routine, you see TV on a daily basis on the screen. TV is a philosophy, a way of life. The actual meaning of the word Satan in Hebrew, which in its two texts means opposite, adversary, one who seeks to know the other side. Now here's Satan talking. We are not Antichrist. We are rather counter Christ. And seek the knowledge of the other side. And they bring the other side. They know it. And the word demon is divine. And likewise, counter to popular belief. Lucifer means the light bearer. So he is. And I think what the Satanist who sent me this letter italicized, the Satanist serves only himself. Perfect. Is it still 22 after 4? Still? Thank you. Suppose I have any questions. How did the devil understand human communication, thoughts, words and actions? Well, he understands. In other words, the angels don't have to speak a particular, call it, angelic language. Angels understand human languages, plural. Well, the angels in communicating with each other, and they do. Well, the good angels and the demons, they don't have to use words. In fact, they cannot use words because they have no lips and no ears. They communicate thought for thought. It's the will which communicates to another angel, the will. And then you communicate a thought among his mind, that will decision communicates that thought to another angel, whether that angel is good or evil. May we have permission to reprint and circulate copies of the Satanic Alarm. Satanic Alarm? Does it mean this? Yes, you may. What is the minimum age, or charge rather, to be sealed copy? Or minimum age? Well, it would be wise, by the way, if when you walk, if you would avoid walking in front of the camera. Thank you. Well, I don't want to impose any age because the magazine is not published by myself. However, 30 Days is in publication in English and available in the English-speaking world. Revelation, Bible, 1,000 years. He sees the dragon, that ancient serpent, that is the devil or Satan, and chained him up for 1,000 years. Explain. The book of Revelation or Apocalypse is the most mysterious of all the books of the Bible. It describes, as you know, what would happen and will happen after Christ's ascension into heaven until the end of time. One interpretation is that there will be 1,000 years of peace for the end of the world, while the devil is, as the expression here goes, chained. However, we do not believe that the devil, until the last day, will ever be completely chained and prevented from tempting human beings. Marxism, please explain your definition in your dictionary. Dialectical materialism, economic determinism, surplus value, progressive pauperization, and revolution. Well, again, I have 2 graduate courses in Marxism. I could speak for obviously weeks on this subject. Just a word. The most important definition of Marxism is dialectical materialism. Marxism denies the existence of a world which is not material. Whatever is real, is material. The non-material world of the spirit is non-existent. What is material? Material is whatever is sensibly perceptible. It can be seen, heard, tasted, smelled, touched, felt. Again, what is material has quantity, size, shape, color, texture. Marxism denies that there is anything in existence, anything, which is not, well, as I've just described it, quantitative, weighable, seeable, touchable, feelable. Spirit does not exist. And in our own English language, spirit is nonsense. Spirit is that which cannot be perceived by the senses. Talk about the English language being materialistic. Penetrated. A whole vocabulary of materialism. If something is unimportant, we say it does not matter. It does not matter. What are you talking about? Is it only matter which either is either important or even exists? Over the years, I've studied the textbooks used in Russian universities where the communists controlled Russia. Chapter after chapter opposing the existence of a spirit world and dialectical. Dialectical means, of course, conflict. According to Marxism, first of all, nothing is real unless it is material. Secondly, there is no progress. There is no progress without conflict. Either you have conflict or there's no progress in society. I've said, I'm sure, more than once. Marx's dream, which he never realized in his own lifetime. As we know, he promoted conflict between the rich and the poor, between capital and labor. But Marx's dream was to create a society which will promote conflict between women and men in that order. Calvinism is Simon Pure, unqualified. Marxism. There's not a single intelligent statement in feminism not borrowed from Marx or Engels. Marx's great and most effective follower. So I keep telling people, America, the United States of America, is the most powerful Marxist nation in the world. Our grace is poured out throughout the world, and one Master said, please explain, yes. The whole world receives graces by every man being offered. He is the teacher of the church. That's why the present Holy Father has told us Catholics to, of course, keep using the expression sacrifice of the Mass, but to add the sacrifice sacrament of the Mass. Just because the Mass is offered, just because it's offered, graces are not just conferred on those, say, assisting at Mass, for whom the Mass is being offered. No, the whole world, including, of course, the souls in purgatory. I read in Divine Mercy literature that if you say a chaplet of Divine Mercy in the presence of a dying person, they'll be saved. Your comments. Not true. I don't have a comment. I have a conviction. It's not true. Can your husband or wife be your sponsor for RCIA? Well, there's no telling what RCIA won't do. However, apart from RCIA, may a husband or a wife be a sponsor for RCIA? I presume the sponsor is becoming a Catholic. I presume that's behind the question. Is that behind the question? What's behind the question?
When is becoming a Catholic?
Please?
When is converting into the church?
When you receive the church. Well, sponsors are for baptism, sponsors for confirmation. Now, specifically, I would say yes. A husband and wife could be. This is my interpretation of the Court of Canon Law. Next time we meet in December, I'll tell you more. My present judgment is, I'm not recommending it, understand? But can or may a spouse be the sponsor for his or her married partner? I think so. Do you believe that the messages that Father Gobi from the Million Movement of Priests is receiving are from heaven? Well, certainly Father Gobi thinks so. Again, I could talk for quite some time about Father Gobi. Father Gobi may have begun as an authentic mystic. He may have. I knew Father Gobi. Or better, I know Father Gobi. We've spent about 2 hours in conversation. When he was in Chicago, and he asked to see Father Hardin. So Father Hardin saw and spoke with Father Gobi. Father Gobi, I repeat, may have been a genuine mystic. He certainly believes that he receives locutions, as he calls them. However, Father Gobi has got himself, if I can use the expression, into trouble. And that mainly because he publicizes his locutions of alleged revelations. Or he is in dealing with both true and false mystics under guidance of the church. the first norm for recognizing a true mystic is genuine, authentic humility. Mystics do not publicize themselves, period. If they publicize themselves and had had mystical experiences, they may continue having experiences, but then guess what spirit enters their lives. You just do not publicize what you may sincerely believe are divine revelations or locutions. And so I'm told, on very good evidence, Father Gopi, when he gives retreats, say to priests, during the retreat, you will have a revelation. And the next morning, the priest will receive each one a Zoroast copy of the revelation that Father Gopi had received, say, the night before. Father Gopi complimented me. I asked him a lot of questions. He told me, Father, the questions you're asking me are the exact questions Holy Father has been asking me. I said, thanks. You stated at the Fatima Conference in Flint that you believe the consecration of Russia was completed as requested. Please explain why you believe it. Because I believe the Pope thinks it was. That's enough for me. The Pope believes that the world was consecrated, or better, that Russia was consecrated, as already told the seers at Fatima. And just for the record, by now you know who was the principal promoter of the claim that Russia was never really consecrated. Remember, Father Gruner. I have in my files a long article by Father Gruner on Father Hardin. Father Hardin is one of the leading heretics in the church today. You didn't know that, did you? I didn't either. Oh, confidential. This is, I'll pass this by. Explain why God did not protect the life of the priest when the devil attacked him.
The one you knew?
Please?
The priest you knew that was an exorcist or something and he died?
Oh. Yes, he did die. As a result, successful exorcisms. Well, and why does God allow suffering? Only God knows. Oh, what I forgot to tell you, remember the story I quoted from Bishop Buskowitz? About the priest, remember? Who said he was so disappointed. Because the assassination against Pope John Paul was not successful. When the bishop came home, he found out from the priest. Well, suffered a severe heart attack and was near death. what are the rules governing having children around the altar during the consecration? There was only one rule. They should not be around the altar. As you realize, it all depends on who makes the rule. The English word rule in Latin is regula. And in English we have regulation. The church, to put it mildly, does not encourage. Not just children, as you know. All kinds of people standing around the altar during the consecration. And behind that, as I'm sure you also know, is a widespread wavering and even losing of the faith in the real presence. Only a priest tracing his ordination back to the Last Supper can validly consecrate bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. Can we as individuals exercise the devil if he attempts to annoy us? Don't try. Martin Luther, when he broke with the Catholic Church, some people were well supposed to be possessed. Luther, well, began to exercise a possessed person. The devil almost killed Martin Luther. Luther never tried it again. Can we say, for instance, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to depart from me? I would not recommend you using those words. One rule over the years in teaching priests, I tell them to teach their people, never engage, never in conversation with the devil. Now the exorcist, appointed by the bishop, qualified first by his priestly orders, and secondly by the jurisdiction he has received, engage in conversation with, but command the devil in speaking to the devil directly. I live in the Saginaw Diocese. What do you recommend for me to read to learn the Catholic doctrine? Well, of course, first of all, the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I just got a copy of the Latin text of the Catechism. Those of us working on the commission for the Catechism urged, praying with the Holy Father, please, don't let the Catechism remain in the vernacular. Make sure it's in Latin. It's now in Latin. With Latin, you cannot cheat. Explain how every pain is a grace. A slight change in the question. Explain how every pain is meant to be a grace. Every pain is intended by God to be a grace. The two kinds of graces you all know, I'm sure. Pleasant graces and painful graces. And there are two kinds of grace. One for the mind, one for the will. For the mind, a grace is to enlighten the mind to know God's will. And God sends pain to two kinds of people. Those who are estranged from Him to wake them up. Those who are united to Him to become more holy. I could talk for hours. Explain why lay people standing around the altar during Mass is sinful. Well, I would use the word is wrong. so many confused people nowadays, only God knows how many people are sinning and doing the most awful things. Why, standing around the altar doing Mass is wrong for lay people is because by standing around the altar, you are in effect, denying that only a priest ordained by Christ to receive ordination back to the Last Supper has the power to change bread and wine into the living body and blood of Christ. Is Freemasonry a satanic sect? Well, it's more than a sect. It's a worldwide organization. I can say this. Freemasonry is certainly used by the evil spirit. I think I told you during the Second Vatican Council, a bishop unnamed and myself were told by Pope Paul VI to investigate Freemasonry, report back to the Vatican. No question, Freemasonry in its roots is on principle anti-Catholic. And surely what is anti-Catholic has the evil spirit behind it. What do you know about the Association of the Holy Souls? I'm sorry, I don't know. I may have heard the expression. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Good to the suffering, co-working causes, those he murders, be their salvation. Could be. I was hoping the question would also say, could the suffering, co-working causes, those he murders, be for his salvation? If anyone is used by the devil, it is Kevorkian. I had been told by a very Orthodox priest that depression, despair, is a result of anger. Please comment. Well, I would say this very Orthodox priest, and I don't doubt his orthodoxy, but when he speaks of depression or despair as a result of anger, he's just quoting, well, the amateur psychologists, or even amateur psychotherapists. Sure, a person can become depressed, even despair, out of anger. But it's not my business to discuss psychological causes, in this case, of depression or despair. What I said was that despair, first of all, is a grave sin. And depression leads to despair, unless controlled. What I mentioned in context is the favorite technique of the evil spirit to cause depression, discouragement, worry, anxiety in those who are trying to serve God. That it is patented in hell. Do you hear me? This is Simon Pure, Ignatian spirituality. The more a person tries to serve God faithfully, the more that person is subject to and open to temptations, to discouragement, worry, anxiety, and of course, despair is uncontrolled depression. Our son is in the University of Dallas, studying for a master's degree in philosophy. Do you know a good priest in that area that he could go to or spiritual guidance? Yes, I do. Having been in Dallas just recently, we go back there. That's in February. So, yes, if you would give me, identify who this is. Not now, of course, but say after class. Please comment on the bishop's new pastoral on homosexuality. My first comment is, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Mary, Mother of the Church, pray for our bishops. Amen. May God enlighten our bishops. Now, by the way, only God knows how many, better how few bishops were behind that so-called pastoral. Many, maybe most of them, did not even know it was coming out. You don't say that pastoral says that homosexuality is a result of a homosexual orientation. That is a lie. As though, that's what orientation means, as though you do not have voluntary control or even the strongest homosexual attraction. Sure, some people have a stronger attraction to the same sex than, say, what is more natural to the opposite sex. But it is not an orientation. It is an attraction. I think I've told you, no temptation would be a temptation unless it was attractive. So what do you do with a temptation? You resist it. And those, how well I know, how very well I know, those behind this idea of homosexuality being an orientation are the ones who tell you once a person, well, finds out he or she is homosexual, there is no voluntary way of mastering that tendency. In fact, they should not master it. And a bright book used in other few seminaries which says exactly this: homosexuality is a natural orientation of some people over which they have no voluntary control, is a book used in more than one seminary of the Catholic Church in our country. Will you please explain to us what the difference between meritum de cognito and meritum de congruo? See? Now we're in. We're on the professional level now. Meritum de, the writer here says, de cognito, is the merit that we gain as a matter of justice from God. Provided a person is in the state of sanctifying grace. Now I should, pardon me, correct the Latin spelling. It should be de, not de cognito, but de congruo et de condigno. Condigno. Merit gained de condigno is the merit, the grace gained. Whenever we do anything which is morally good in the state of grace, am I clear? That's merit de condigno. God owes us, because he allowed himself to be indebted, he owes us a reward for whatever we do that is pleasing to him if we're in the state of grace. What merit de congruo? Merit de congruo is either the merit gained, merit in quotation marks, by a person who does what is good but is not in the state of grace. Am I clear? Can people not in the state of grace do good things? Of course. Do they gain grace from God? Yes. But then, it is not strictly due to them in justice. Am I clear? And the church is coined the expression de congruo. Secondly, when we pray for others, we gain merit. They congruo for others. In other words, they cannot, in the strict sense, merit for another person. In the strict sense, well, the strict sense means de condigno. In other words, God, in His love, in His mercy, may give the persons or person for whom I pray or do good for, may give grace. But He does not owe the grace. In de condigno, God owes the grace, the reward, for everyone who does anything which is pleasing to God, who himself or herself is in the state of grace. Thanks. I like these learned questions. If a person in the state of mortal sin and died without the aid of a priest, would in perfect condition remove the guilt and debt of the mortal sin, or would the condition have to be perfect? Well, I'm sorry to say, the church's teaching is have to be perfect condition. But that is why, over the years, especially in teaching priests, I have told them, anoint every dying person who is not conscious. They're conscious. Well, say something which would elicit from that person faith in your priestly power to anoint. Make sure, of course, the person has been baptized. They want these sacraments that give sanctifying grace and move mortal sin from the soul without being, well, perfectly sorry, making an act of perfect contrition. First of all, baptism. A person who is being baptized, and of course, not every stage of reason, they cannot have any sorrow at all. But if they reach the age of reason, all they have to do is fear God. Believe in God and fear Him. You baptize that person, they go, they die right after you. Baptize them, go straight to heaven. Secondly, those who receive anointing. Of course, you must have been baptized first. When a person is anointed, all the grave sin they may have committed is removed, provided, of course, they've been baptized before the anointing, and at least have been afraid of the God whom they've offended. Fear of God and anointing removes eternal penalty, eternal guilt from persons in the state of sin. Absolution, sacramental absolution, may remove the both the guilt and the punishment of mortal sin. With a person who is just, who's not conscious, who has just been afraid of God's justice, no one conscious, and you absolve him. It may, we're not sure. We're sure of two sacraments, removing both the guilt of mortal sin and eternal punishment, with just fearing God. They are baptism and anointing. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us in every course
of the year. Glory the priest. start with a